My name is Feng Yuanzu, and we're glad to be here to present our work, which is called the V-Edge. It's a fast self-construct modeling for smartphones. It's a joint work with Dr. Yunxin Liu, Dr. Chun Li, and Dr. Yunguang Zhang. Let's start it. Okay. So smartphones are very popular network devices, introducing a lot of the network traffic. Compared with other devices, there's limitation. One is the power. Power is the constraint limits the development of smartphones. So to improve the energy efficiency, we need a power model. But what is a power model? Power model basically is the relationship between the power consumption and system activities. So just to give a concrete example here, if we have a snapshot of system activity, for example, if I have a 30% CPU usage, 150 level of the screen backlight, and some other information about the background, the different hardware component. And we put those information into a function which use those information as parameter, and we can get a calculation, for example, is 1400 milliwatts, and that's our calculation analysis. Both of these analysis and calculation, we can provide the feedback to the system side, which we can do the power management and optimization. That's why the power modeling or power model is the foundation for the power management and optimization. But how to build a power model? And basically, we need two categories of information. The first one is the power consumption. It basically can do two information. One is the voltage. One is discharging current. The multiplication of two value will be the power, which is the information we need for the power modeling. And another category is the resources usage, including the CPU utilization, or backlight level, or the Wi-Fi traffic. But keep in mind those information are in a controlled way. So basically, we know exactly how much and what is the workload on different hardware components. And finally, we feed this information into the regression program, and we can generate the model whatever we want, the linear model, nonlinear model, based on the different requirements. And so what is the good power modeling? I have several requirements. The first one is the model should be personalized. Why? Because different phones have different power model based on the study of previous work. So in order to capture the various difference of smartphones models, we have to run the modeling program on each phone in order to build a specific model for that devices. So why this is why the model should be personalized. The second thing is we need a faster training. The fast training means the training state will take a short time period. And the reason is the user, because sometimes when the when using the model for a while, we'll find out the hardware or software configuration have been changed. So we need to redo the modeling. And in that case, frequent adaptation is needed. And in the training stage, we do not want to, the user activity is not expected in the training stage because it is a controlled environment. Both based on these two reasons, we need a faster training stage. So, actually, there are several categories of previous, just according to different power measurement method. And those two categories of the existing work do not fulfill these two requirements. Let's first introduce the first one, is external metering. The big thing can provide the power information, the voltage and the discharging current from external hardware. For example, the Mohsen power meter and battery power monitors. They are fast and accurate, but they have some limitation here because you cannot expect the end user to using these type of devices to build a specific model for their own phone in the wild, because usually it will do in the lab and it's labor intensive, and you need expert knowledge to install those type of devices, because right now some of phones are using non-replaceable batteries, so it's very hard to install those devices on smartphones. So later, people come up with a new solution. It's called self-metering. It basically provides the voltage and current information from internal battery interfaces. So basically, it's a hardware inside the phone can provide the voltage information, current information to the upper layer, for example, operating system and applications. And it seems solves the problem, but have some disadvantages. Actually, a large number of existing phones do not support this method because their battery interface only provide voltage information. It do not provide current information. So if we want to use this method, we have to use this method on the phone, which can provide this, both the information. So there's a state of art of that self-metering method called self-metering with SOD. SOD means the state of discharge to solve this problem. Basically, they can run on most of phones. What they do is leverage the SOD. So what is SOD? SOD is the percentage of energy left on the smartphones. For example, if you have a 40 charge phone, you have a green bar on the corner of the screen indicating you have 100% SOD, and if you use it well, it probably drop back to the 70% SOD. So it's probably very familiar to everyone if you have a smartphone. So basically, you can calculate the power using the SOD change, avoiding the use of the current information. But they have some limitation. First, it's very slow. They don't have 100 discrete SOD values. So if you want to observe just one value change, it probably take a long time. So another thing about this method is not accurate. So how do we solve this problem? Do we have an alternative way to do the power modeling to get the voltage information and current information in a fast and accurate way? And we come over method. So let's introduce the V-edge metering. So here, the intuition here is the smartphone are battery powered devices. So why do we leverage the battery characteristic to solve this problem? Here, the battery characteristic we are using is the instantaneous current change lead to instantaneous output voltage change. So what does it mean? I will introduce detailed in the following slides. So let's first look at the very simple equivalent circuit of the battery and smartphones. And you have the OCV, which is the open circuit voltage. It represents how much energy left in the smartphone. And also, just keep in mind, it is a relative constant for a short time period. And there's R representing the internal resistance inside the battery. So if there's a current change on the circuit, how the battery circuit responds to this change? Let's look at the next slide. And before I introduce the details, I first want to mention the V output. The V output is the output voltage to the smartphone, which also is the reading value provided by the battery interfaces is the value we get from upper layer, the operating system and the applications. So let's say if there's a current change on circuit, it will cause the increased voltage drop on the internal resistor R. And since the VCR is a relative constant during the short time period, it means we can observe a decreased output voltage from the battery interfaces. So it means there's a relationship between the voltage drop on the output voltage and the relationship and the current change on the circuit. Let's put this equation in another way. It basically means it's the linear transform between the current change and the voltage change. Here, the voltage change we represent as the V edge. I'll give a detailed introduction of V edge in the next slides. Okay, so here, since we have a relationship between the V edge and the current change, and this linear relationship can give an estimation of the current change using the V edge change. And based on that, we come up a way to estimate the current using the V edge method. So it means we can infer the current just from the voltage dynamics. We do not need to use other information. Just the voltage information can lead to the current power consumption of the smartphones. Okay, so let's introduce what is the VH. The VH basically means the voltage difference between before and after and system operation. Let me give you a very concrete example here. Along the timeline, if the CPU changes their workload from idle state to, let's say, it's 30% CPU usage, we will see discharging current increase on the circuit. And because of that, we immediately see a voltage drop of the output voltage from V1 to V2. The difference between V1 and V2, which is the V1 minus V2, is the VH. Also, we will see a similar difference when the CPU workload back to the idle case. We'll see our voltage rise here. So to back up this theory, we'll give you one concrete example here. This is a real experiment showing the voltage dynamics of smartphones, battery smartphone on the battery. If we change the current change at the two different places, so this figure matched the example I gave to you. So it definitely means it have the very good relationship between the current change and the voltage changes. Okay, so what is the good advantage of the VH? It is accurate because the stable linear relationship between the VH change and the current changes, or we can do a one-to-one mapping from the VH to the current change. So basically get the idea what is the current change just based on the VH changes. And we test on 8 different batteries for 2 type of smartphones. For this 8 battery, we change the different current to see what is the VH change and to try to draw the linear fitting for these 2 type of variables. And their figure showing a very good linear relationship fitting between the VH change and the current change. So it means it's a very stable linear relationship, so we can infer the current change from the voltage change. The second thing about the good thing about the VH is very fast. So for example, on Nexus, we can get a power consumption for one operation just within 1 second for VH method. But if we're using the SOD method, it may take you 15 minutes. So that's the huge difference there. And another thing is it is very sensitive. The VH can detect 4% CPU usage with 100% successful ratio. Keep in mind, since we only use the VH in the training stage, in the controlled environment, we definitely can tweak the hardware usage more than 4% CPU usage. So it's very easy to detect this using VH for the current change. And it's fine-grained in the resolution, so definitely more than 100 discrete values compared with the SOD method. So here I introduce what is the, based on VH, how we do the power modeling. So here we also have 2 threads, just mapping the generic power modeling I just introduced in the beginning. They have a training stage, and they have the estimation stage. And in the training stage, we need the power measurement from the VH system, and we use the power model generator to generate different models. I'll give you the 4 models we built in the next slide. And for the next part is estimation stage, and basically we collect all the hardware information or system activity from the lower layer and to calculate what is the power consumption for each process or applications. And we'll intercept the system call and to get the system parameter of different events. So it's the event-driven design. It involves low overhead. So basically, on the power after the power profiler, you know who will consume how much power on where. Basically, for example, if application using spend 30% of the energy on CPU and 70% energy on the screen. We will know that. So let's look at the four model we introduced. One is the CPU, basically the linear function of the frequency and the utilization. And the second one is the screen. It's the function of backlight level and every pixel colors. Here we have to consider the average pixel color because if you have because the different color will give you different power consumption on screen, even you have the same backlight level. So that's why here we introduced this for the online modeling. Here our model is the wild sophisticated power model, screen power model for the online modeling. And we also consider Wi-Fi, also consider GPS models. I'll give you the evaluation later. And also, so based on the evaluation, we first give the present the value of the training overhead because the one of most important of VH is fast. So here we, in order to build our model, we have 400, more than 400 training program. If we use VH, we only need 1.2 hour to build the whole, to run all those training programs and build the whole model for different component and for the whole phone. But if you're using the SOD method, it may take more than 100 hours. So it's the more than 100 times faster than the SOD method. Then we give evaluation on the accuracy. The metric we use here is the real energy consumption. So this is actually the more stricter than direct compare with the model parameters. And we compare the, have an evaluation on the component level, or different component models and real applications. So for the accuracy, we compare our VH method with the two other methods. One is with the ground truth measurement. Basically, we run a program and directly measure the power consumption in the real time to see how much energy has been consumed by this program. And also, we compare with the external metering-based power modeling. Just what I mentioned in the in the very beginning part, the external metering-based power modeling is very accurate, but since it's not feasible or flexible to do in the wild, so it's not easy for end user to do that, but it's very accurate, so we compare with that to see what's the accuracy of our problem modeling, online power modelings. So let's give you two component model first here. This is the CPU and the screen. We will see here that all the dark green bar is the VH method. So we see VH method is very close to the other two methods for these two components. So represents the difference is very small and the accuracy is high for the VH method. So I give you a summary of these two components. The error means the VH estimation error compared with the ground truth measurements. And we also give the difference. The difference means what's the VH value difference compared with the external metering based power modelings. We'll see the error is within 6%, the difference within the 4%. That represents we have very good accuracy for those two type deployments. And also we give the other two component model for the Wi-Fi and the GPS and a real application. Here we consider the web browsing, the video playback, those are real applications. And this is a summary of the errors. And since we just keep in mind, we're just using those implementation to demonstrate the accuracy of VH for providing the power consumption estimations. We do not provide a very new power modeling schemes. So here we only consider very simple the Wi-Fi and GPS model. So that's why they introduced some errors. But for the difference between the VH method and the external metering based power modeling, the difference is low, not high. And also for real applications, we have this where things. The error estimation. And so the key thing, conclusion is the key thing that we have a key finding, the current change can be determined from the instantaneous voltage change. And based on this, we come up with a new self-constructed power modeling just based on the voltage readings. It works on most phones, and it's very fast, and the accuracy is good, and it's very sensitive. So based on that, we implement our VH method and demonstrate the effectiveness in power modeling. Thank you very much. Any questions?
This is Mian Dong from Samsung Electronics. Very nice talk. It seems to me that the way you are calculating the current requires the value of the resistance in the battery pack. So, but the resistance is very sensitive to temperature. So I wonder if you have any evaluation on that, or have you considered any mechanism of your design to compensate the temperature change?
That's a very good question. Actually, our method, it depends on whether you want to know the absolute value of the current. Here, if for the purpose of the power management optimization, we need to know just the percentage of the, for example, for application, how much energy has been consumed by different hardware component, and for the whole system, how much energy has been consumed by different applications. For that purpose, you do not need to know the absolute value. Only know is the relative value. So you do not need to transfer the VH power measurement system to the traditional power management system. Actually, you can, I didn't mention in the slide, you can refer more detail in the paper. First, we have a way to transfer the VH measurement system, including the VH power, VH energy, into a traditional power management system, which is including the traditional power, which is the current time, the voltage, and the energy, which is the power time, the time. So the first thing, we have a way to do that. The second thing is, if you, the purpose is just to do the power management and optimization, you do need to know the absolute value, just for using the VH value to do the management and optimization. Did they answer your questions?
Yeah, thank you.
Okay, thank you.
Chuck, NEC Labs, Princeton.
Now,
the VH sampling, you're doing at 1 hertz. So if the CPU usage, CPU bursts are, say, in the order of a few milliseconds, but happening frequently, so will the error in your measurement be very high?
That's also a very good question. It's the, I just mentioned that in our implementation, the VH only need to provide the power information to the training state. So for the training state, the whole system is under control. So you can control, you can stay, for example, for CPU, you can put it in the 30% usage for a long time period, so it's not a problem. And when you use it in the estimation stage, since because of our event-driven design, it basically is very accurate. Very accurate in the fine grain, and as long as the events occur, and they will be trapped by our program, and we'll get the information, so it's a fine grain.
Thank you.
I think Chuck asked a question very similar to mine, so
okay.
That answers my question.
Okay, cool. Thank you very much.